Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to talk about two things really quick. One of them relates to that experiment I told you guys I did yesterday, relating to an old show that I used to watch. I guess actually both of my points relate back to that topic. But my first point is, for the one person that I was discussing who was on the show who I felt a lot of similarities to, the one episode I happened to rewatch on this show, I noticed there was something happening that I talked about in regards to dissociation. And I've told you guys before, I used to think that I had dissociative identity disorder, and it turns out I didn't. I had complex PTSD, but the two things are very similar. If you look at them, if you read about complex PTSD, you'll see where those similarities are in there. And this person who's on the show, I don't know if she has dissociative identity disorder or not. I don't know if she has complex PTSD. I have no idea. I just noticed she has very similar characteristics in her being or her personality that I find very relatable. And this was on that show that I told you about, Southern Charm. And like I said, she's not still on the show, by the way, but I was watching an older episode. And she was doing something that totally proved my point. And it's something that I've done in the past, too. So it was relatable. But she was having an interest, or what you might consider to be a hobby, like I've talked about recently. But she was doing it, I think, for everybody else. Like, she was engaging something for approval or to be accepted. And it was almost like a hobby of image. It was for an image. And the interesting thing was, in this episode I happened to watch, she was being interviewed for a job, and it fell in with the field that she was saying she wanted to be in, and she was excited about it. And again, I think it was because deep down she's wanting acceptance. So whenever she was in this job interview, a very key thing happened. That's exactly what I said. If you do something that's for an image, eventually your lack of genuineness or your disingenuousness will show. And so when she was in this job interview, she was being asked, "Oh, what can you bring to our store here? Or, you know, how do you think that you could bring good qualities, or what specifically could you change about this in a positive way to increase sales, blah, blah, blah." And she really didn't have an answer at all. And she kept saying, "Oh man, I just don't know how to say it. I don't know how to explain it." Cause she didn't really have, I think, a genuine lust for it or a genuine interest. It was more, she had an interest to look a certain way. Right. And so as soon as she was being asked this question, and she literally had no answer for like two or three of his questions that were pretty basic and pretty simple, in my opinion. She had no answer. My first thought was, that's a great example of what I talked about maybe a couple weeks ago when I talked about doing things for an image. And I talked about a certain person who's out there in the world of celebrity, and everybody kind of knows who this person is. I didn't say who it was, but it was a different person from the show. But they were doing everything for an image because of an insecurity. And everything is, who can they be around, and how can they look a certain way? But whenever you're actually in, I would say, conversation with people, and this could be in a marriage, in a job, in a so-called hobby, I guess you could call it, whenever you're actually in the environment, that disingenuousness is going to show itself whenever you're in those like conversations. So whenever somebody is asking you about the activity that you're both engaged in, the fact that you're not genuinely interested in it it's only for show. It's almost like being an actress. It'll show itself. And that's what was happening with this woman on the show. And as soon as I saw it happening with her in this interview, my first thought was, I bet she's going to have those feelings of, what is my identity? She's almost going to have those feelings of dissociation. She's going to have a feeling in her mind like, I don't really know who I am. I feel empty. I feel lost. Because I've been there and I've been in that exact situation. Because in the past, I have done things that I thought I was genuinely into. Like I thought, you know, even in some aspects of the world of history, there's things I am interested about in history, but when it comes to working in the world of history, there's a lot I don't like. So it might be a little bit of a different situation, but you know, if I were to suddenly engage in a sport and I just wanted to do it to be around certain people or look a certain way, and then if somebody were to actually, who was really into the sport, were wanting to talk to me about all about the sport, I might be like, I don't really care about this. Like, it would show. It would be disingenuous. You know, it would show to them that I'm not actually interested in it, right? I'm only interested in the way it looks. And so that's what was kind of happening with her. And she, you could kind of tell it deflated her. Like, it puffed her out. And my first thought was, I wonder if she's going to get really depressed because here's something that she thought she wanted, but when she actually had to do the nuts and bolts of it, you know, the actual hands-on work, the business side of it, the work, it was almost like it just sucked all the joy away from her. And now it's like back to square one. And that's the problem when you don't know what genuinely makes you happy. See, I think she was doing this for other people. That's the problem. You know, it was for image. But I think it got her excited because she was thinking, oh, people will love me now. People will like me. So it's really important to not do that because you could spend thousands of dollars on schooling, you know, to study something and your real primary goal is to be accepted. Like, that's not a good reason to study a field or go into a certain field. And that's what I think she was doing. So as soon as the questions were asked, you know, what are you going to bring to our business and all these other things, she had no answer. And my first thought was dissociation. I bet she's going to feel like giving up. I said before on this show, she's very open about her substance abuse. And my first thought, also my second thought was, I hope she doesn't slide back into abusing substances to cope with the fact that now she feels like all is lost. But if she would see that, you know, the answer would be do something that genuinely makes you happy. Like I mentioned in my last episode, that Miss Potter thing, that woman who wrote Peter Rabbit, she genuinely liked that stuff. She liked drawing. She liked telling stories, writing stories. It made her happy. And she was a happy person. And this woman who I'm talking about on the show, for most of the show that she's been on that, whenever she was on it, she was so miserably not happy. And I really think that the cure would be that genuine hobby that brings her happiness because it'll bring her confidence. And that's what she's needing. The other thing I wanted to mention really quick that I didn't mention, again, regarding not just that show, but other maybe reality shows. And I would even say that I've done this a lot in public and with family and friends. And this, I think, is an enormous part of low self-esteem that I don't even know if I really digested it quite enough until I did that experiment yesterday and I was sort of writing down notes, you know, what am I thinking as I'm watching this? What is it about this show that used to trigger me so much? And it's not just that show. It's other shows, it's people, it's public, the public sphere, friends, family. One thing I do, and I do think that in a lot of ways, maybe not always, but in a lot of ways, I've really, I would say, built a resilience to this by building my confidence. but it was comparing myself to other people. And I think every person on the planet does this, but I think when you struggle with low self-esteem, which I did not know I was struggling with, and if you struggle with several of the symptoms of complex PTSD, depression, negative self-beliefs, my two main triggers, feelings of incompetence, people's behavior not making sense. If you're comparing yourself to other people, and you know, envy could be, play a part of that, money. And I feel, again, from that book that I mentioned, they discussed money in there and what to do kind of about that and how to view money differently, that Novel Cure book. I feel in a lot of ways I've built resilience to that as well. And that's a really huge deal. But the comparing yourself to other people, if you're doing it every single day, which I would say I probably was, and really beating yourself up about it, and then dealing with all the other symptoms of complex PTSD, and having low self-esteem on top of that, you know, comparing yourself is a really horrible thing to do, because you're you, right? You're you, and just be happy. Like, you know, find something that makes you happy and be happy. And just be you. Like, don't compare yourself to other people, whether it's your clothing, your home, your car, your job, what you do for a living. If you're happy, that's like all you need. Like, that's the key to life, in my opinion, is happiness. And searching for happiness, like I said, it's through a hobby or, you know, whatever activity it is that genuinely brings you happiness, because that's going to build your confidence, and you're just going to be happy, because there's something in life that's making you happy. So that comparing yourself is, I would say, detrimental. And I'm glad I was able to use that show that used to trigger me so much and look back at it and use it as a tool to see what was it that I was doing that this used to bother me so much. And I was absolutely comparing myself. Absolutely. And that's just not good. You know, you should, you know, have your own unique style, have your own unique vibe about you. Just be you. But like I said, I think everybody compares themselves to people. Everybody does it. So, you know, it's not something to beat myself up about, the fact that I used to do it. Just realize I used to do it and forgive myself and get over it. But the comparing is a big thing that I don't think I've mentioned enough, or mentioned maybe at all. But it's a big, big part of low self-esteem, of envy. It could be of jealousy. I mean, comparing yourself goes into all kinds of things. Depression, you know, it can play itself in a lot of different things. But particularly those symptoms of complex PTSD, I think some of those can be so gut-wrenching. And then to have your particular triggers, you know, if you feel incompetent and you're comparing yourself to people, that's just horrible. And if you're feeling like people aren't making any sense and you're comparing yourself to them, that's horrible. You know, it's just a lot of really bad ways of looking at things. So that comparing yourself is just, it's no good. But like I said, I think the key to all of that is happiness. So this is the Complex PTSD Guy signing off.